On this episode of Running on Empty, we dive in to the Sweet 16, the Elite 8, and the madness of March. Josef Nurkić no longer has a leg. Well, that's not true, but he broke it bad.
It's just not fully connected.
It's in trouble. And, you know, football's making changes. Don't hate him.
Don't hate it all. We also dive into opening day for baseball. It's finally here. We also have a new sponsor. Get excited about that.
We don't.
And we talk about Masters. How far away is it out? No one really knows. And we discuss how to talk to the opposite sex. It's great stuff. Great, great podcast. Hope you guys enjoy out there.
See you in there.
Hello, my friends.
Jesus Christ, step away from the microphone.
Sorry, I really into there. My bad. Hello, my friends, and welcome to Running on Empty. I am your host, Karen Pope, along my side, my co-host, Patrick Dealey. And Pat, this podcast is brought to you by Bang Energy Drinks.
Did you get some kind of email back?
I didn't tell you this, Pat. We have a new sponsor. Bang Energy Drinks. Make no mistake, Pat.
Show me the email.
I'm talking right now. I'm doing the ad. First time doing the ad. Make no mistake, Pat. Bang is not your stereotypical high-sugar, life-sucking soda masquerading as an energy drink. High-sugar drinks spike blood sugar, producing metabolic mayhem, causing you to crash harder than a test dummy into a brick wall.
You're actually reading something.
Power up with Bang's potent brain and body-rocking fuel made with creatine, a little bit of caffeine, COQ10, and brain branch-chain amino acids.
COQ10 or CO210?
Don't worry about it, Pat. Just read it. Life is an extreme sport, Pat, and Bang is the extreme energy source to live life to the extreme, Pat. Pat, how are we doing, baby?
Was I copied on this email?
No, Pat. I'm a solo guy now. I'm probably leaving the podcast, doing my own thing. Oh, we got a sponsor.
Share your screen with me right now.
I got to find the email. Pat, how's your day? How's your day?
Let me see the email. What did you just read?
I read, don't worry about what I read.
You read their website? I bet you fucking read their website.
Pat, how is
it? You read their website! God damn!
Pat, we have to get them to like us first, okay? And then they'll be our sponsor.
Did you even send them an email, like at all?
I read the can. It's on the can. Pat, see, this is going to speak it into existence, Pat. If I've ever learned anything ever in my life, is if you got to speak it into existence, Pat. And, Pat, this is how we do it. We do it like this. I told you I had a surprise for you. And by this time next week, after they listen to the Running Empty podcast, we'll have a new sponsor of the show.
I'm going to break news to you. They're not going to – it's one of those things where they don't have to buy the cow if they get the milk for free. If you're just going to give them ads – how many of those do you drink a day? What is wrong with you? You need help.
I might be addicted, man. They're so good. There's definitely nicotine in this. There has to be nicotine in this. Well, my work like promotes it, and it's like we're getting them off the crates. And I don't know, man. It helps get through the day, dude. When you have that like thrill 3 o'clock afternoon snooze, you want to call it a day. Bang! Energy drinks are there for you at all
Jesus
times of the day.
Christ, those have to be terrible for you.
No, they're actually not bad. They're full of protein. They have a little bit of creatine in it, which is good. No sugar, no carbs, no calories.
Caffeine?
That's not important, Pat. It's just a little bit of caffeine.
Give me a milligram. Grams.
No, Pat, like I said, it's not important.
It's important to me. I'm curious.
Definitely a lot of caffeine. Actually, it doesn't even say on the can, so it's probably fine.
Okay, let me do a quick Google search.
Oh, man, just saw it. Nope.
What does it say?
300 milligrams. It's like a 500.
300?
Jesus Christ, I'm going to die.
That's four Red Bulls.
That's a lot. It's over two cups of coffee. Is it on here? Pat, I might be out on Bangs. Jesus. They make that font so small. Good for them.
All right. Welcome back to Running on Empty. Let's get back on track here. Look, it is tournament time. March Madness is still upon us. We're in the right in the middle of the thick of it, which is a mixture of two things. We're right in the thick of it.
Okay.
And it's Sweet 16 time, which is tomorrow, today, if you're listening to it before.
Tonight, Pat. Tonight.
Not today. Semantics. Anyway, depending on if you're West Coast, East Coast, it's it's today, Thursday, March 28th is the beginning of the Sweet 16. And, you know, I couldn't be more excited.
I'm very excited. I've missed basketball the past few days. There's been some NIT on, and it just doesn't really move the needle that much for me. So I'm excited for basketball to be back. And we got some blue collar games. We got big games going on, some blue blood. It's not blue collar. Blue blood games going on. The 1-4, 2-3. Obviously, the Oregon's kind of the only Cinderella team left. But they're the hottest team going against Virginia tomorrow night in Louisville. Pat, are you going to the games? Games are in Louisville.
I want to. Like Louisville's we're a big drinking town. I myself like a cold beer. However,
why does that do they think?
However, I don't think they serve it at NCAA games.
They don't serve them out at NCAA games. I was a little upset. I guess
I don't know why you'd think they serve it in Carolina, like at all.
I didn't really expect them to. But it was like, you know, it's not a SC game. Maybe they will. You know, it was a little bit of hope. Sure, the game, they not.
Big dumb brain move by you, no offense. I said no
offense. Well, no offense doesn't make it what you said not offensive.
Okay. This is another part. This is another place where we agree to disagree.
I take great offense to what you just said. I'm a little hurt.
Well,
I'd like for you to apologize.
I said no offense. So anyway, we're not going to argue about this. let's see here. Yeah, so I don't know. It's like 4 hours of games. Five, actually, probably between like
five
when
hours,
you know, when they switch. Probably not. I might go to Saturday. I'll go to Saturday.
Yeah, I would say go to Saturday's games. I feel like that'd be a better time. The Sweet 16 is gonna be great, but Elite Eight is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Seeing a couple teams go to the Final Four. So that'd be awesome. But it's also a great day to be sitting on your couch, bar, wherever you are, watching some great Sweet 16
nice
games.
Rhyme.
I like the way they space them out too, Pat. They have like the 7:09. Love to have it's a 7:09 tip off.
Mm-hmm.
They could go 7:10. They could go 7:00. 7:09. And so they do 7:09, and then they have the second game tip off 7:29, and the games after that are whenever the game finishes. First game on the slate is Florida State playing Gonzaga. Is that game in Louisville, or is that the other one?
In DC. What, FSU Gonzaga?
Oh, that's West Coast. That's actually in Anaheim. That's Anaheim. Sorry.
Yes.
So that's spread 7.5. Gonzaga is obviously favored. Over under is sitting at 146.5. Pat, what do you like so far? Me reading that off to you. What are you thinking?
I'm afraid to bet against Gonzaga, but I also like Florida State, so I probably won't touch this game.
That's sad, Pat. People need answers.
I had to gun against my head, I'd go Florida State. I mean, look, Rui Hachimura, you all know him. You love him. He's black and he's Japanese. Crazy mixture.
Blazing.
And he's really good.
Really good.
Really, really good. Florida State is also just super long, man. I mean, they can give anybody problems. Like, they'd be a good team to play Duke, you know, just because how long they are. They have a 7'4 guy of their own who's not 7'6, but 7'4 is pretty close.
That's pretty much safe.
They almost beat him with Zion. It took a last-minute shot or last-second shot from Cam Reddish, if I do remember correctly.
You are correct.
So
I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good game.
You're
thinking Florida State plus 7.5 is where you're leaning?
Thinking money line, to be honest. But anyway.
I think the bets on there's a couple games with the mass, like a little bit larger spreads, like the Tennessee-Purdue game, which is the next one, the Texas Tech-Michigan game, are like 1.5. So like pretty much a toss-up. I mean, no, not really. But the games that are like 7.5, 8.5, like the Virginia-Oregon, Florida State Gonzaga. I think the play of both these games are take the underdog first half money line. And then I think it's going to be a lot of emotion in that first half. Going to be a lot of hot defense. And then the better team's going to kind of blow away at the end. And, so I'm thinking Florida State first half money line. I don't know what that's at, actually.
I don't know if Gonzaga is the better team.
Well, according to Vegas and the spread, what I'm talking about, they are. I'm not saying they are the better team. I'm just saying according to the spread. They are 7.5-point favorites, and I would just go with I like taking first-half underdogs, man, because you see the whole time these teams, it's really close there, and at the end of the game, you get in the free throws, and, like, people just get dumb near the end of the games, and, you know, they get the backdoor covers one way or the other. I think it's just take the first-half spread of the underdogs or money line or both, and that's my advice for the week, a weekend. And also something, Pat, it's a little gambling thing here. Am I dumb to think that, okay, so the first half, it goes over, you bet the second half under, or vice versa, if the first half goes under, you bet the second half over.
Yeah, you're dumb to think that.
Okay, well, I'm going to try this weekend and let you guys know how it
goes. Unless there's actually, like a huge sample size that if it goes under by more than 10 points, it's probably going to go under again.
I don't know. I'm going to see that. I'm interested. I think Gonzaga's going to win them. Spread for that game is a little iffy. The second game, Purdue-Tennessee. I really like Tennessee, which makes me think Purdue's going to win. Like, personally, I'm kind of fading my dumb brain.
I mean,
I really like Tennessee.
I don't think Purdue – when's the last – I think the last time Purdue was in the Final Four was 19 – or maybe he's in Elite Eight, like 1996, something along those lines. Yeah, Purdue is historically not good in the tournament. Like, just they're just terrible, dude. Tennessee also, Rick Barnes is terrible, so it's kind of the toss-up of the terribles.
I don't know if they're that terrible, but okay.
Like, in the tournament. Rick Barnes.
Oh, in tournament.
Rick
okay.
Barnes had Kevin Durant and like Washington or something. I can't remember who, but like didn't do anything in the tournament. So, I don't know, dude.
Well, Pat, we don't ask for your predictions for you. Say I don't know, dude. Are you kidding me right now? Jesus Christ, I'm gonna get.
If I was good at gambling, I wouldn't be doing this fucking podcast.
No, Pat, this is how you get good at gambling. We're forcing you to talk about it, forcing you to give out picks you don't really want to take.
Well, Carson Edwards was really hot yesterday or last weekend. Like, okay. He scored 42 points. Before that, Carson Edwards was one of the coldest players on the planet. Like, that's why Purdue was sliding. So, like, what Carson Edwards, if Carson Edwards puts up another 42, then you're probably going to get fucked. You're going to get skull fucked.
That's term.
That's true. He went 12 for 29, 9 for 16 from 3. What? I mean, that's absurd. So he's definitely not going to do that again. Although he might, but like probably not.
Yeah, this is just great analysis for the game here.
Okay, you say fucking something then, asshole.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to talk about this game either. All right, so next game is Texas Tech.
You brought nothing. You asked me for my analysis, and you're like,
I told you I love Tennessee, so I'm taking Purdue.
That's the only analysis I need.
Huh?
Why do you love Tennessee?
Because they're a veteran team. I know it's like, oh, they haven't really been in the tournament that much, but they're a veteran team. They're led by a group of seniors. They've played well so far. Yes, they had made a monster comeback. Iowa came back, but they still prevailed at the end, fought the adversity. And, Pat, I just like this team. I like veteran teams come postseason. I don't care if they haven't gone on postseason runs before, but when you have a team that is led by seniors – they seem to join together, and they know how to win out games. They know how to come
Grant
together as a team.
It's
a bad thing. So, Pat, that's what I'm thinking. I love Tennessee. I'm taking Purdue.
I probably won't touch it. I don't know. I will. I'm going to touch all these games just at the last minute. I'm like, Tennessee.
Especially you're telling me tomorrow, yeah, like 7:15 rolls around, and you're going to see a Florida State Gonzaga game. Florida State's going to be up like 10-2. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I just told you I'm going to bet it at 7:09 game. I'm going to bet the game at 7:08. I'm going to watch them get ready to tip it off.
I like that. So, you know, okay, so the other game, we're going to go game by game.
Why? I don't think we should do this.
Michigan. I think we should. We're already doing it. Michigan, Texas Tech. Let's just do a little brief here.
Texas Tech, by a million. Keep moving.
Okay, Oregon, Virginia. Same thing. I already told you guys while I care. Oregon first half, money line and spread. I disagree on that too. I think Virginia's really good.
And they play the same style as basketball as or Oregon tries to play the same style as basketball as Virginia, and Virginia's just way better.
Virginia is really good, and I think all they have to do is get past that 16 seed. And
take the under.
Wow, 119.5. That is low.
Take the under.
But 72% of the public is taking the over, so I am writing that down. Under.
Take the under, for sure.
Under.
The game's going to be like 47-61 Virginia.
Okay. All right. So that's all the Thursday slate games. Hopefully, we brought you some winners. Friday, Pat. Let's go into Friday's got a pretty good slate. Friday, I think Friday's definitely better than Thursday.
You know, that's what they say, but Thursday is the new Friday. So what does that mean?
Do they say that? Do people say that?
My dad says it all the time. Big Thursday's the new Friday guy.
Then people are saying that then. That is a fact.
Jesus Christ. Statement. All right, keep fact. It moving. Come on.
All right, so you got the first game of the week on Friday. Mm-hmm. Let's kick off the weekend. LSU, Michigan State. Michigan State comes off 6-point favorites. Wow, that's a number, Pat.
Give me the Baton.
Seems a little bit large.
Give me the Baton Rouge Freedom Fighters and the money line.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. They're playing for the teammate. I don't know his name right now. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But his teammate died back in August. Playing for him, great stuff. Got teammate Mitchell. This is a team you just. Playing for somebody, you got to take them, Pat. You got to run the hot hand. I agree with the LSU. And next game is Auburn.
You have to take the hot hand in the tournament that both teams have won 2 straight.
No, Pat. The hot hand that's playing for a dead teammate, Pat.
That's not. So you should take the cold hand.
Pat. The hot hand with the teammate they're playing for that just died. Okay.
He didn't just die. He died in September.
Oh, wow, that's not happened? Okay, so a year ago, nothing that didn't happen either, Pat. Have some respect, okay?
What
their family's
are you
still
talking
mourning.
About?
The teammates are obviously still crying after games, Pat. I don't want to hear it. Next game, Auburn-UNC.
They're playing for their dead coach.
Oh, my God. Auburn-UNC. A lot of points. The over-under right now is 164.5.
Could be a lot of points, could be not a lot of points.
Are the highest over-under of the tournament. Or for the Sweet 16 games. Probably of the tournament, actually.
It's close. I think USC or UNC already had a 160.
I don't think Auburn can hang with UNC, which makes me think Auburn's going to cover. I'm dumb. I play this mind game myself all the time, Pat. And I'll probably change all these picks come game time. Like, but
right. I'm going to take the other side. I was far away from the mic. I apologize dearly. Anyway, first over-under, actually highest over-under of the tournament was UNC Iona at 166.5. It went under, by the way.
I took it. I took the over. It didn't hit. It's awesome. Had a great time betting this weekend. I bet 28 games this weekend, and I netted a total of minus $1.63.
I bet a Chinese game last night.
That's just we might have to have intervention.
I bet on the Shanghai Sharks.
What sport?
Basketball.
Don't act like I should know that. Don't act like I should know who the Shanghai Sharks are.
It was at 6:00 in the morning. I did not watch it, but I was bored. I had been live betting all night, and I wanted to keep going, so I just put $5 on the Sharks. Got that dub.
It's a problem if you lose them. So
not
congratulations.
Knock on wood.
All right, so the big game, I think, the game that people are most excited about, I know personally I am, is Virginia Tech Duke. You have the storylines going on. Virginia Tech beat Duke earlier this year, but it was without Zion. Kind of in a really rough spot for Duke in the middle of the year where they lost a couple games in a row.
It was also without Justin Robinson, though.
Yep. You can play that card, too. So this game is Duke -7. Oh, God, that seems so high, and that makes me actually kind of like Duke because I think this game should be a lot closer in the spread.
Yeah, me and you both agree. That's big yikes.
So, Dealey and I both like Duke -7. So that for sure will hit.
No, wait, you like Duke -7? I like Virginia +7.
I like Duke -7 because
good. Thank God. My side's right, cool.
See, yeah, like that. See, everyone follow Pat. Pat is so smart at this gambling thing and gets all winners. So definitely take Pat's side here.
I actually did go undefeated last night, so you could suck a huge penis.
I didn't lose a single game last night, Pat.
You didn't bet a single game last night.
Okay, the semantics. But we can get into that later. The reason I like Duke here is I feel like this line should be a little bit closer. That's kind of a big number.
So you're just betting the opposite of what you think.
Yes, Pat. That's kind of what I do. What I do. What I. That's,
yeah. And you so broke. And you broke like, even.
Yes, but also I bet like 28 games. So like that's kind of. I think it was worth it. I had
get those
upside.
Numbers up. Pump those numbers up, bro.
Just so, it's, oops,
those are rookie downs. Numbers.
No, and then the late game of the night is Pat's favorite team, Kentucky, playing Houston. PJ Washington was seen walking around. Yeah, he actually posted a video of him just walking around. It's kind of wild, actually.
Fucking coward.
So
come out and talk to the media, you coward.
He might play. Question mark?
I don't know, because there's also videos of him putting the boot back on.
I love the move there. Just the whole mind game of, is he going to play, is he not going to play? And he just has the post a video to social media.
I don't think Houston cares.
You don't care?
I don't think Houston cares.
I don't know. I think they care. He's a really good player when healthy.
This is true, but like also he's not going to be 100% healthy. That's for sure not.
I mean, that's true. I mean, who knows? Who knows? He's walking around, Pat.
So, you're probably right. Josef Nurkić could be probably walking around right now.
Oh, my God. That was disgusting. So, yeah, let's finish games. Let's go with that. How about the ref kicking his foot?
Big yikes. That was not a good one. Big.
I don't know if you guys saw this. What's his name?
Josef Nurkić.
Yeah, thanks. I can't pronounce that. He didn't know his name. Broke his leg. Pretty gross compound fracture.
Double compound fracture.
Yeah, it was gross. It was very gruesome. Very gruesome injury. He's lying underneath the basket.
He went like us Louisville fans like to say, he Kevin Weared it.
Okay, I don't think they like to say that.
Maybe not like. Okay, fair enough.
Sometimes they say, maybe.
Sometimes we say it, yeah. Every once in a while, and also, you look on the football field like, oh, look at that guy Kevin Waring.
Now, Shipcher was revoked because Kevin Waring actually didn't break his leg. That just erased that from your mind. But that was gross injury. Bad luck for the ref. He got... Guy's laying there with his leg snapped in half, and the ref trips over his leg. That's injured. Really kind of – it's a bad luck. Bad luck. Yikes. Yeah, big yikes.
yeah, I mean, T's and P's of Josef. My boy Josef. My Bosnian prince. Yeah, he – God, I don't know. That's just – I don't know how basketball players' legs just break. People are like, it's the micro compressions and the – small fractures end up just doing a lot of this, that, and the other.
What are you saying?
My question is, why are basketball players' legs breaking?
It just is. It's the whole, like, offense lineman with concussions, okay, Pat? So it's just the repeated jumping and landing.
I've jumped just thousands a tour. Of times. Never broken my leg.
Well, they jump more than you, Pat. They jump for a living. And it's just over and over and over. And sometimes it just breaks down. Next thing you know, boom. It's sad. It's life, Pat. It's life. And some people are built, you know, a little bit better than others. LeBron James, knock on wood. That hasn't happened to him. And he's jumped a lot of times in his life.
Why the fuck would you say that?
I knocked on wood. I didn't mean to say it. It just kind of slipped out. But I knocked on wood. Yeah, so that's kind of your brief why that happens. It's sad.
Wild.
It sucks,
wild that you said that.
I didn't mean to say it. It kind of slipped.
No, you did. That's such bullshit.
It just slipped, Pat. It just slipped. You're the one talking about it now. So let's keep it moving. Tomorrow is opening day. Today is opening day for MLB. We'll give you a full breakdown. Winners, losers, over-unders. You should take team totals. Maybe some future MVPs. I don't know. We'll see what some player futures, if anything excites us. And, yeah, let's hop into that in the break. Pat, you want to close out anything first half?
You going to the break?
Yeah, we're jumping the break.
How long have we been talking?
15 minutes. 20 minutes.
Before we go to the break.
Yeah, all right. Pat's just it's run his show now. I bring a sponsor to the table, and he just thinks he still has power.
You just didn't bring a sponsor to the table. Not yet. Maybe we should hash this out. You're just reading fucking ads off a can that was given to you by your work.
Okay, given to me by my work is a weird word, weird way to phrase that, Pat.
Stolen from your work?
That's even worse. No, Pat. I meant more. I paid for what I got. Okay, I was not given anything.
Happy ending.
Okay. What were you trying to say?
I mean, there was no denial there whatsoever.
You back. Doing your thing.
Yeah. Well, this is overtime. We're in overtime here, and there's been segueing to NFL. There's been no rule change to the overtime, but there has been rule change.
What's that segue?
I just made it.
I like that.
There has been rule change to the, egregious and obvious pass interference rule. Yeah, you can now challenge pass interference. Which at first I was like really against this because like if every pass interference you can just, or every pass you can just be like, that's pass interference. But it's just another thing that you can challenge. I just heard that recently. The way I heard it was like anybody can just like all of a sudden like you see a pass and like that's a pass interference. But But now you can hold your challenge flag and use it for that. So, honestly, I don't hate the move.
No, I think it's a good idea. I mean, there's – I don't know. I feel like the thing happened with New Orleans and the Saints in the NFC Championship game, that kind of play, that situation doesn't happen that often. But that was definitely a play where it was like that – in that big of a game, deciding a game pretty much doesn't happen that often. And I think it would have been great for that situation. And I think it will be great. I think it's a good rule. I just hate the fact that it's going to slow the game down even more. That's my big thing.
I don't think it's going to slow the game down anymore.
It's just challenging. If you get it right, if you get a call right, and then you get your challenge back, right? That's how the rule is, isn't it?
I think you have a maximum of two, though.
It
doesn't slow the game down at all because, well, I guess it does because if you keep, yeah, maybe you're right. So, I don't know.
Games are long enough. And whatever.
They can't bring it to college football. That'd be just insane. College football's been kind of slowing down as it is. So, like, you know.
We'll see what happens. I think it would be cool. It would be fun to see how it works out. And the best thing with this is you can always say, hey, this is a bad rule, and we'll see how it goes for a season. And then, you know, discard it. So, it could be cool. It could be great. I definitely think it's something that needed to be done, something needs to be changed, because there has been a few calls where it's, you know, cost game season for the New Orleans Saints last year. But it's I don't know, we'll see how it turns out. I'm not gonna be happy if it's like late in the game or something like that, or not late in the game, but a really stupid game I'm watching, or if I'm at a game and you just have these pass interference calls being challenged over and over and over.
Yeah, sure.
Make a 3-hour game
for sure.
You know, 3 hours it's whatever. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited, though. It should be cool. I mean, new rules. This is the time of year where we get some new rules. And we argue, discuss about how it is. And we sit here for, 4 or 5 months and wait for it to happen.
Couldn't agree more. It's a pretty big deal, obviously. The coaching picture didn't fail, as always. We broke it down already.
That Jay Gruden picture. That is not.
I mean, that was just bizarre.
We looked at that picture for maybe.
I mean, if you listen to Monday's episode or Tuesday's episode, you heard it. I mean, it was just, it was baffling, baffling.
Yeah, no, it really was. It was really rough. Ooh, the Vega Bombs just found me or followed me on Instagram.
Ooh, that's actually kind of cool. I might go see them sometime. Well, let's play a Vagabond song on our way out.
They're coming. Vagabonds are coming to Columbia, and that's why.
Yeah,
just...
but they're not going. They're not going to Breakers. Shout out Breakers.
No, they're going to the White Mule. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're going somewhere. Which, I mean, is fine. Like, I think they're doing tickets now, I imagine.
Nope, yeah, they are.
Which is cool.
Good for them. Vagabonds, we've never heard them before. Great band.
We might be... Oh, wait.
They just play all the time, and they just play Breakers all the time, right?
Nah, not all the time. I mean, probably like once or twice, or once a semester, but we might be able to get them on for shits and gigs.
Why not? I think it'd be good.
I breathe in the mic a lot. I'm sorry.
I think it'd be great. It'd be great having a little musical guest, musical appearance.
I don't know about that.
Maybe them write a song about us. I don't know, Pat. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
I think I couldn't agree more.
Run an empty song. They debut it in front of me. I think it's a good idea.
Wait, nope. I don't want that song.
That is not the Vagabond song.
Nope. There we go. That was the rest of Eminence Front. All right, we are back, and you know what? A little center field brought to you by John
Fogarty.
Fogarty.
John Fogarty.
However you want to pronounce that, that's your prerogative.
Nope, he's an American legend.
I don't know if he's an American legend. Anyway, he sounds like Vietnam, like very Vietnam era music. You know?
He's from CCR.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of that's good. Okay, Vietnam's well, anthem. Yeah, he's the guy. Makes sense. Checks out.
Anyway, so baseball season's upon us. Opening day is today if you're listening to this on Thursday, March 27th, 8th. There we go. So we're going to do a little breakdown of – we're not going to break down anything because I don't know nearly enough to like be like –
we're going
to
talk about the odds and what we think.
We're going to gamble on it.
I mean, we're going to look at – I'm going to give a nice little – I'm big into baseball.
And my parents are fucking drinking without me. I mean, I live in their house. They could have just given me like a little quick ring. Anyway.
They want purpose. So we'll – Pat's a big Tampa Bay Rays fan. The Rays last year, we'll dive into the Tampa Bay Rays for Pat. They jumped off as a team. They kind of like seemed like they were selling everything. Sell, sell, sell. They played in the hardest division in baseball with the Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, and Orioles. And they played really well. They had 90 wins with 90-72.
Well, for the majority of the year, I think up until the All-Star break, they played like 500 ball or maybe like a little bit under it. So like it was like bleak outlook. But like we had some like good things going, you know. We had some hitting, you know. We didn't have that much hitting. Our pitching was solid.
Hit some balls. Pitch some balls.
No, our pitching was solid. Blake Snell was pitching lights out. Obviously, he was starting to grow into the Cy Young candidate, which he eventually won. Words are hard sometimes. And so after the All-Star break, they kind of took off. And I think in July, they had like a 20-5 or like a 15-5, some kind of stint like that, to where they did that for like a month. And then they played 500 ball again. So they ended up winning, 90-72. They won 90 games.
90-72.
Which is really good. Blake Snell, shout out to him for winning the Cy Young. He freaking killed it. He didn't get paid them. I think his contract's up this year. You know, it's like after this year. And he will not be farther away from the race. He could not get farther away.
I think it'll probably be one of those things around the trade deadline. Some team's going to try and pick him up, make a little postseason push.
Oh, yeah.
Just to the race.
I mean, depending on where the Rays are. But, like, probably,
I think so. The Rays, you probably get something out of them. The Rays, I feel like the Rays were kind of going into the last year a little bit more of like they were kind of could see that the Red Sox, Yankees, how dominant they were and how they were kind of stacked going into the year.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
So it's kind of like one of those, all right, maybe the Rays need to do a little rebuild. And I think they just did a lot better than what they expected to do as a team. Snell obviously had a great year.
For sure. Their manager, Kevin Cash, has done great. I mean, he's obviously had to fill in just fucking huge shoes of, Joe Madden, you know? So, I mean, he's one of the best managers in the game, so.
Right.
It's been good. CJ Cron played well. I think he actually got traded, though. So, I'm just name-dropping because I know, like,
jumping into that. So, AL East, I'm looking at the odds right now. And the Red Sox obviously won the World Series last year, but the Yankees are the odds favorite to win.
What?
The AL East, -150. Red Sox are +130. Baby, if you're not putting money on Red Sox +130, what are you doing?
Really? That's shocking.
Very shocking. So I like that there. I just feel the Yankees are going to be a good team. They're going to fuck something up and then be a wild card team and lose in the first round. That's kind of what I expect of the Yankees this time of year.
I mean, they don't have pitching. Literally every one of their pitchers is hurt, I think. Like three or four of their starting rotation is hurt going into opening day, and like a few of their bullpen guys. I think I heard that. I'm almost positive I'm correct.
I'll run with that, Matt. That sounds like a good idea. So let's jump into AL Central. Cleveland Indians open up as a favorite. It's -500.
Well, hold on. You didn't even talk about the Rays here, man. Rays have an 84 game win total.
Okay. You want to talk about that?
I like the over.
Like the over?
I'm going to be honest because they won 90 games, and I don't think they're six games worse.
I think it could get kind of rough near the end of the year because it just depends where they're at as a team. I could see them trying
to... Well, I'm not going to bet against them, so I'm going to go ahead and put...
Okay. Hey, Pat, you pay more power to you, do you? I worries me at the end of the year when they're out of playoff contention and you're sitting around, high 70s and they trade their best player. They kind of mailed in time. So we'll see how that goes.
I don't like betting season totals, though.
Yeah, because they're sitting there all year, man. You're not getting that.
Sucks.
It's not going to cash out until end of September. one way or the other. I mean, that's a long time for it to be sitting
if
there.
If I do bet it, I will bet the over. I'm going to think about it, though.
Okay.
I'm
gonna see, I like that, Pat. Let's not just no impulse decisions. Let's think about it.
Because, like, last year, dude, I had, like, 3 win totals that just, like, clogged up my freaking balance.
Okay, so AL West, because I don't really talk about the Central. No one gives a shit about the AL Central.
Correct.
A team that I kind of like, a little sleeper pick. They're plus 2,500 to win the AL West is the Seattle Mariners, Pat. I don't hate the Seattle Mariners team. They have a nice little team around them. They depends on D. Gordon. They have Mitch Haniger. He's back for a full healthy season. They had Jay Bruce, Edwin Encarnacion. I think they have a pretty good offense. Their pitching isn't great, but I mean, I just see that the value plus 2,500.
Who are they behind? They're behind the Astros, obviously.
Yeah, Astros are minus 1,000, and then the Angels plus 1,000, Athletics plus 1,200.
so they're fourth in the fucking division?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's got good value. I'm not saying put the bankroll on it, but like, hey, maybe a little sprinkle, see what happens.
$5 on it to win like $250.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A little sprinkle.
That's how the math works, but.
It would be $125. $5 bet on $125. What's $5 to you?
It's true.
I mean, just it's something to think
not
about.
Do it because they're definitely not. Did they go? Are they 2-0 though right now? Are they two? Are they a game up on the division? They went 2-0 in Japan.
Yeah, I mean that was a given. They're a Japan team. They play for Ichiro.
Ichiro retired. You know that, right?
I do. It's sad. It's sad. We didn't really talk about that. Ichiro, what a career, man. What a career. I remember when I was like playing MLB The Show, and I would always have him. I'd do like the – like what are the trade things on where like you must trade?
I don't know.
I don't know, whatever. Like make my team just absolutely stacked. He was always my leadoff hitter. Great, great guy. I love Ichiro. Single machine.
Great, great guy. All right, keep it moving.
All right, so let's open the NL. NL East, we kind of touched on a little bit. The odds right now, of all the moves that happened in the offseason in the NL East, the Nats are the favorite at plus 150. I do think I like the Braves, obviously, but the Nats, they kind of scare me. They have that pitching staff that is arguably the best pitching staff in baseball. I feel like Bryce Harper was a very big distraction for him. So with him leaving, I think that actually helped him out a lot. But I mean, that's a bad thought, Bryce Harper.
Also, he kind of sucked. So like,
he played really bad last year, and also he just like gave up and didn't really give a shit near the end of the year. So like,
what an outrageous dude! This guy's making millions. Okay, well he had an MVP season, so that's like tough to like say anything right about. He did have an MVP season, but this guy's like making millions after coming off of a 249 year. 249. I think in June he went 214.
No, what? Like I mean, he had a really bad last year. But I just feel like he didn't give a shit, and like he's a really bad, not a great locker room guy for the Nationals next year. I don't know. Maybe now he's getting paid. Maybe something will change. Maybe
if he doesn't hit 300 this year, I'm calling it a bust.
He can't do that. That's a 13-year contract. Like, yeah, give him a couple years. If he wins a championship for the Phillies, no, I mean, that's.
No. I'm gonna squat on that take real early. Okay. I'm gonna give him March and April and half of June.
if he's not
above 300, it's over.
If he has hit 10 home runs in April, he's a bust.
Correct. Yes, correct. Absolutely. His coach literally goes, I want him to hit as far as he can. The wild thing about it is like, so first of all, I don't care. If we're going to get into shift talk, let's do that. Because this is what we're talking about right now. We're getting with Bryce Harper. The shift, how effective the shift is with him. They were talking about like, I mean, obviously it's a small sample size, but like the spring training game, they just put 4 outfielders in the outfield. They took away the shortstop, or they probably took away the shortstop and just put third base in the middle of third and second.
Yeah, makes sense.
And he batted like 197.
Yikes!
Just like so, like for these things, like so, I was never a power hitter, so like I never had to worry
about your high school baseball career.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Make sure we know we're getting into here.
Yes. Correct. I was a stud.
Carry on.
Not really. I got cut junior year. Anyway.
Nope. Carry on.
It's because the coach thought I was doing drugs.
Pat. Carry
which
on.
I wasn't. I want to make that abundantly clear. He's just an asshole. It was political. This whole thing.
Well, this is sports. I don't need to talk about that. But carry on about your.
Hey, dude.
Your
this is
hitting.
Our podcast. We can talk about what we want. I gotta get this out, man. Anyway. So. Bryce can't hit like it's either a dinger or it's a dud. You like that? That's pretty good.
Oh, that's a new segment alert.
That might be
dinger or dud. All right, wrote that down.
I like that. But just like, so I never had to, like, this is just from obviously personal experience. I never had to work it, worry about a shift. Like, if we played a series with a team, there would be like, we'd have a big guy that they would just go, a lefty that would, they would just stack the whole right side of the field with. Why is it like hitting opposite field becomes so like taboo?
I don't know. That's a great question, and I feel like neither of us are qualified to answer that, just because like we're not.
I mean, I know the answer.
I feel like we should get a guy on that gets a shift. I might do some research.
I know the answer. It's fucking everyone loves the long ball, so they all try to like pull home runs and like. I mean, I guess it works. Like obviously, Bryce Harper got a huge contract.
Makes sense.
Albert Pujols got a huge contract at 31. One of the stupidest contracts of all time. Let's rank stupid contracts.
Albert Ainsworth, A for our Redskins fans out there. Let's pay a shit total load of money to a defensive tackle. And let's see how that works out. And he just went year two and then just retires.
I'm going to have Albert Pujols. I don't know. He's got to be top three.
Yeah,
it was like $240 million for 10 years, and he was 31.
Yeah.
And now he's still got like three years left on the deal, maybe more.
They did get him at – that was like the last little bit of his prime, and dude, he was – Albert Pujols was unreal.
For sure. Oh, no, when he was good, machine.
Remember the ESPN commercial with like him – doing like the whole like cookie from Ned's Classified glasses where he's like dialed in, like getting all the signals and locked angles and all that. Boom. It was a great commercial. If you haven't seen it, look at Albert Pujols ESPN commercial. But it's great.
Albert Pujols, this is SportsCenter. But like, so Albert Pujols is up there, Robinson Cano up there. Who else am I thinking of? Oh, someone got a contract that was just trash.
There's a lot of them, Pat. There's literally
it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, this isn't baseball. This is just like the fresh new extended contracts with the NBA. John Wall.
This is just like a bashing DC segment because I really don't hate that.
John Wall getting the supermax for the Wizards. Next year, he won't be able to play because his Achilles is still torn. And he's owed $47 million.
I like that a lot.
All the other players are like, nah, we don't need that much. We don't need that much money. We can get it elsewhere. We just want to go play for a good team. And John's like, sign me up, cuz I'll take the check. I'll take the check.
And dude, good for these guys that forget paid.
He's just a locker room cancer, and then he breaks his Achilles at home, or tears. How does that pop? I don't know. I think John Wall contract is my number one, and it's not even close because. In baseball, like, it sucks the owners are throwing away money, I guess. But, like, there's a salary cap. Like, it doesn't really matter.
It's true. That's a good way to look at it. It is kind of crazy. Baseball,
I think Bryce Harper's is pretty bad, though, too.
We'll see. I mean, we'll decide.
I mean, he's 26.
At the end of April, we'll decide. We're going to make our gut reaction. But end of April, he hasn't had 10 home runs and 25 RBIs.
I'm not going to watch a fucking Phillies game. And I'm just going to gut react. Just look at his stats. Nope.
The Braves are playing the Phillies this weekend opening series, which is going to be – I'm really worried about the Braves. Let me go on a little Braves rant. So Braves last year are it's kind of the same thing. Like they have this the really good farm system, a lot of young guys, a couple like veterans with Freddie Freeman. But they don't have pitching. The pitching is really young. They have people who have prospects, but it's kind of like, okay, this team is here. The batting lineup is here. Let's get pitching. Let's go on a run. Let's do something here. And they just sit back, 2-0, add Josh Donaldson, which was like one MVP a couple years ago, but then he was terrible before. Like, we don't know which Josh Donaldson we're going to get. And they signed Brian McCann, which makes me happy as a Braves fan. But like, he's going to play, 50 games this year? So, like, whatever. Do that. Fine. Yeah, whatever. But like, the opening day pitcher, the starting pitcher for the Braves is Julio Teheran, who is just laughable. Like, he's a great road pitcher, but like at home, there was a streak there. We lost like 10 straight home starts, which after your ace, that's not really great, Pat. It's not great at all. But it's I just feel like they never made a chance to get a good pitcher to kind of make that team go over the hill. So I'm only worried about the Braves. I think the Braves will have a little bit of a letdown here this year.
I was going to say take the under as well.
I kind of like the Braves under. I think just mainly because last year the NL East was a little bit down. The Phillies had a little run there at the end. Nats were kind of just like floating around. The Mets were terrible. The Marlins were really bad. And the Lays is really good this year.
Are the Mets going to be good?
The Mets have better odds to win the East than the Braves.
But
they're plus 300 right now. I mean, it just the Mets have pitching. The same thing. The Mets have a couple good pitchers. DeGrom and
I don't really know who their bats are.
I'm trying to think. They have DeGrom and
Syndergaard, David Wright.
Syndergaard, yeah, thank you.
David Wright somewhere on the bench.
He's definitely not a date anymore.
He retired last year. I know that for a fact.
They signed Robinson Cano. They have Cespedes. Wilson Ramos is a great.
They have Cespedes.
Yeah, Cespedes is still there.
Is he under suspension? Is Cano under suspension? They just have all the Dominicans that have just violently done steroids.
Got them cheap, baby. That's kind of smart. But they signed up Todd Frazier at the end of last year, so they have a good lineup.
Todd.
Jed Lowry's a good second baseman. He's kind of just like a very – he's a good fielder. He's like average. He's good. They have Robinson Cano, too. Who the hell is – so you guys have Robinson Cano playing second and have a good backup? Easy. Okay, interesting. But that's – the Mets have better odds than the Braves win the East. So I think, I think as much as I hate to say it, the Braves, the win total, I think it's 85 right now.
Yeah, I saw it at 84.5.
86.5 on this website.
On Duck 77.
Jesus. No plugs. People are being honest. But yeah, that's I like the under. Just because the NL East I think is gonna be really, really good this year.
I agree with you. It's a really good division. There's no doubt about that. If you can indulge me real quick, let's do the NL West.
Okay.
The NL West is interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers are obviously good, right?
Dodgers are the clear favorite at minus 350, but it's like, dude, the Dodgers getting really close to that Buffalo Bills, like, just keep winning in the World Series. Like, they're getting close to that team. And I feel like, I don't know,
I did my Stephen A about it last time, but yeah.
I can't speak from experience of, like, losing in championship games over and over and over, but I feel like after 2 years, you're going to that third year, I feel like it's just tough to kind of bounce back and say, like, this is the year we go all the way again. Like, I feel like that's really, like, mentally in the locker room and everything. I feel like that's really just difficult to
get the team
back around and jump back into it.
Here's a good question.
Okay.
Who did the Diamondbacks lose to where they dropped back behind the Padres? I know the Padres got Machado, but, like, I mean, a fucking hitter doesn't.
They lost Goldschmidt.
That's
with the Cardinals, though.
No, I really don't think the Dodgers are the play here. I'm going to be honest. Even if the Dodgers were even money, I probably wouldn't take that. Because, the Rockies finished, four games back?
Yeah, and they...
Rockies and the Astros finished four games back. Or not the Astros, the Diamondbacks. Arizona is where I got confused. And maybe...
Yeah, I like the Rockies team total over. Actually, I might lock that in right now. Because I think it's kind of the opposite effect. I mean, the Padres... I don't think the Padres are going to be that good. I know it's great they signed Machado. I don't think they're going to be... Might win a few more games, but I think last year that division was so good, and I kind of like the Rockies this year coming out on top, plus 350. They locked down Arenado. Trevor Story was great last year, too. They got Daniel Murphy now at second base. It's a pretty solid lineup all the way around. I like the Rockies a lot. I like the team total over, Pat.
What is it?
I just had it. Where'd it go?
I don't see it.
Is it offline?
Are the Rockies playing right now?
Oh, no, it's 84.5.
Oh, yep, there it is. I don't hate that one bit. okay.
So, yeah, I like that. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think the most competitive division, I mean, I know everyone's going to say the Red Sox and Yankees, but is the NL Central, man. The NL Central is those top three teams, Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers, are all teams I could easily see winning the Central and making a run in the playoffs.
I can't see the Cardinals. I think they're still not there yet.
The Cardinals are there, man. I think this is the Cardinals' year. Cardinals are bouncing back.
Interesting.
They got Goldschmidt, and I don't know if you knew that, but did they get Goldschmidt? Yeah, they got Goldschmidt. Yeah, they got Goldschmidt. Sorry, I didn't see the name of that. Yeah, they got Goldschmidt, and I don't know if you knew that, but he's really freaking good. Ozuna's still there, dude. Dexter Fowler. They're a pretty solid all-around team. I don't know. I just think they're plus 170 the odds on the favorite in the Central. I like that. But the Brewers get really that much worse for being the plus 230? Because they won the Central last year, didn't they?
In a playoff, yeah. In game 163.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. That was awesome. I forgot about that.
There was two of them.
Yep. It was that one in the Dodgers-Rockies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff. Great stuff. I'm excited. A lot of players moving around. A lot of big-name guys signed and leaving. Braves didn't do shit. So, yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm excited just to see some new faces and some new teams. And that's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good baseball year. Baseball is actually – I don't want to say it's fully back yet, but opening day is today. And we need to talk about it, need to touch base on all of baseball. But it's excited. I will be fully invested in the baseball season, at least the Braves, but everything else once hockey and basketball wraps up. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. And it's also, Pat, we're 10 days from the Masters. So buckle up. 2 weekends away.
10 days.
Which also means Game of Thrones.
No, we're not 10 days away.
10 days by tomorrow will be 10 days from the Thursday of.
How does that make sense, Cameron? Tomorrow's Thursday. How can it be 10 days to the next Thursday?
Damn it, with my tracker off, that makes no sense. You're right, Pat.
You fucking idiot.
No, it says 11 days on my tracker. It doesn't make any sense, though.
It must be like the Masters week or practice or the hole in part three, hole in one thing.
It's probably the week of the Masters. Yeah, exactly what that is. All right, well, we're still 2 weekends away.
10 days away. It's like, buddy, you know how long a week is?
I guess not. Yeah, dude, I gotta stop trusting things on the internet, man.
I mean. So there's been a lot of college basketball head coach turnover. I'm not going to really touch on it too much. Besides Alabama hired Buffalo's head coach. If you've watched any MAC basketball or any just college basketball recently, Buffalo's been really good. So
big hire for Alabama. Good job.
Yeah. Oh.
Also, was it Avery Johnson was coach before, right?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't think he should have been fired, to be honest. Hold on. Let me. I wish I could film you when I read this.
I'm going to have no reaction.
The majority owner of the Alliance of American Football told USA Today Sports that the league is in danger of folding without help from the National Football League Players Association.
Oh. Why?
Should I keep reading?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all ears now. That's my league, and I didn't even know they were about to fold.
Tom Dundon, I think.
What a terrible name.
Yeah, Dundon.
Oh, my God.
Who became the AAF's chairman last month told USA Today Sports in a recent interview that the NFLPA is not cooperating with the AAF by refusing to allow the first-year league to use young NFL players. That's just, I mean, what does the AAF expect?
That sucks. That's, like, the whole reason that they were.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I'm not going to fucking, like. So, like, we've interviewed Reggie, and I'm going to try to get Reggie back on probably after the draft.
Sign a contract. Good for him. He's back.
But, like, why would you – like, why would Reggie want to go risk his life or risk – I guess you could say, like, risk his livelihood playing in some bullshit league like the AAF? I mean, if he's going to get paid, then so be it. But for $75K, fuck that, man.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Although I would do it for $75K. AAF, if you're listening, I will sign.
Free agent Pat, he is available.
Anyway, if the players' union is not going to give us young players, we cannot be a
devoted? What were you trying to say? I don't even know what you're trying to say here.
Devil mental. No.
Detrimental?
Development.
Developmental.
Developmental. Jesus Christ, I was having a stroke.
Are you okay? you need a bang. You need a bang energy drink. Make no mistake, bang is not your stereotypical. I'm just kidding. I'm not.
Say it one more time. Say that word again.
That developmental?
Developmental. There we go. Developmental league. Dundon told the USA Today Sports. We are looking for our options. One of those is discontinuing the league. Yikes. This guy's the owner of
the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes. He's going to take a $250 million bath, probably.
Yeah, not great. Really, really not great. but there was – going into the AAF, I Because it kind of like, it's like the XFL said they were going to be back, and the AAF kind of formed right after that. I was like, dang, dude, like this leak works out and all that stuff. This is really, really bad for the XFL. But actually, this could not have worked out any better for the XFL because this team, this league out there.
If it's gone, I mean, fuck.
Really just fuck up everything. And then you have these, all these players that, like, I mean, I'm not going to say our household names by any means, but players that, like, you know, did pretty well in the AAF that the XFL just sign over and then work as a league that will help them developmental league into the NFL. All
right.
So the XFL is the real winner here, and the AAF is in big trouble. Big
agreed. Trouble. Enough sports talk. I'm tired of it. JK, just kidding. I could talk about sports all day long, but let's talk about women.
Nice. Where the hell is this going?
Let's, Pope, let's talk about what are your problems in with either the bedroom or
what the hell are we talking about here? Pat?
With women.
What? Well, as I have stated before, my boy Cam Newton gave up sex for a month, and I am doing the same. I am by choice. I'm no longer having sex with girls until Cam Newton does. So that's my stance. I need cleanse. I need to do.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say Cam Newton's having sex right now.
How dare you say he's a liar? How dare you say my QB1 is a liar?
Let's see here. Okay, so here's some advice for you, Cameron. To gain some confidence, to talk to women. Because boy, oh boy, if you know.
I need some confidence to talk to women.
You lack confidence.
Thank you. I need some confidence to talk to women.
All right, here we go. Big mistake that a guy makes.
Okay.
Is going out and thinking he's only going to talk to the hottest women he sees. Lower your standards. Okay. That's not what it says. It kind of says that, though.
This is kind of mean, Pat. Women have feelings.
It says once he sees a gorgeous woman, he gets nervous, his head fills with doubt, and he never approaches her. Yeah, exactly. It says start small, but I thought it meant like start small with a conversation. But no, it just it starts with ugly women.
Where is this? What source is this that you're getting this from?
It's called theartofcharm.com.
Artofcharm.com. I like that. It's kind of catchy of a name.
But confidence you need to approach that stunning girl can build up gradually. Strike up conversations in low pressure situations. Who happen to be around? Guys, girls, you're not a start with dudes.
So it's telling me to lower my standards, start with dudes.
Then the not so lucky ones. And then build up to Jennifer Gardner. Then you'll get Jennifer.
Okay. I'm taking notes. That's some good stuff there, Pat.
Start with guys.
Start with guys, have a conversation with guys, and then have that transition talking to a girl that's not attractive, and then talk to the most attractive girl there.
Yes.
With confidence.
That's it. I mean, it sounds like you can do this all in one night.
Something I could do it in one conversation, just kind of going from have a circle.
Oh, okay. And you just have guy, ugly girl, hot.
Transition, girl. Transition, transition, transition.
I like this.
Man, this is incredible stuff, Pat.
I think we are making.
But first
wow,
off,
wow. Okay, hold on.
So, what I'm writing down of stat number one.
Start
talk
with dudes.
to dudes.
Yes,
all
number
right?
One. Okay, so this headline says machine gun approaches. I don't know what this means. We are.
That's kind of aggressive.
What is our gun now?
Politics.
Sick of sports. And women. And men, if you so please. We don't judge.
Cameron, we have some female listeners too.
Yeah, sure. So
no, we actually do. I know a girl that actually listens to the show. Shout out Court, I'll call her that. That's her name. And shout out to you for being a female listener. We should have a female listener segment.
That's a made up name.
No, it's really not. She says she listens to us every time we come out. She's a big fan. She wanted to meet you when you were in town.
Aw. What's up?
I have lied about that. But
fucking dick. Anyway, there's a machine gun approaching, Cameron. What do you do? Since experience builds confidence with women, you want to get as much experience talking to them as you can. Great way to do this is by shooting a machine gun. No, by the machine gun approaches.
Just talking to every girl you can talk to.
This is verbatim. This sentence, okay. You're gonna love it. This means completely letting loose and talking to every woman you see.
I don't hate that approach. Okay.
Cameron, I think so once you get through Trulies...
I don't have that many conversations to talk about. I got to talk to every guy and every girl I see.
I'm
going to
be honest. Whenever you get three Trulies... I cannot speak English. Trulies in you.
Trulies, yeah. I am a...
You don't need that, you don't need this approach because you already do it.
I do talk to a lot of people when I have a couple...
Pick the right venue, like a cave, Celsius. A dark place, or maybe a boat because of the implication.
That does not say that.
But because of the implication.
Always that reference. It's very funny. Very funny. I was a little concerned. I was like, Pat, these websites may not be the best for us. You might check off these websites right
now.
You want to
make sure your restraints are strong.
Okay.
Anyway. Incredibly difficult approach if you're going... something we should talk about.
I'm listening.
Because, like, people talk about how people have been... They've, like, talked to people at gyms. And, like, but everyone's always wearing headphones.
That's uncomfortable. I think that's uncomfortable talking to someone at a gym.
I mean, I agree with you. I've seen it firsthand where, like, this guy... I was in Florida, like, in high school or some shit. I don't know. It was vacation. And I was at a gym. This guy strolls up to this girl. And this guy was, like, 35, 40... upwards, like raising the roof of that. I don't know exactly where he was. This girl was probably 25, maybe. Just goes straight up here. Goes, hey. Something along the lines, like, you're pretty good looking. Have your number? Or something, I don't know. So maybe said something charming. I don't know. She was like, no, I have a boyfriend. And I was like, Jesus. And I was like, I didn't want to be right next to him, but like I had to be because of what I was doing or something. And it might have been the most awkward situation I have ever been a part of. And he was like, okay, well, just... see you around.
Be in mind.
I'll be over there on the bench press if you decide to change your mind.
Curls. I think a core part of the gym, and that sounds weird, but the other day I was doing some squatting, so I do some great legs. I'm really strong, my legs. But this dude next to me was squatting like 515 and repping it out, and it was very intimidating. But he saw me over here squatting, doing my thing. I don't want to talk about numbers here, but I was doing a nice little weight. And he asked me for if I could get him a little spot. That's when you made it. When the guy that's like over there jacked in the gym, that's just over there just swole, and he's like, hey, man, can you give me a spot? Dude? Huh?
Are you hitting on jack dudes?
Dude, jack dudes hitting on me. And I feel like that was, I mean, that's the best thing that happened in a gym, right?
Yeah, I guess, dude. I guess. All right. Here's another thing that that the Art of Charm suggests. And this is one that I think you should really take to the bank.
Okay,
I'm not talking to the listener. Maybe I am talking to the listener. I don't know, but I'm definitely talking to you, Cameron.
Okay, Cameron's advice, or for Cameron.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Taking the pressure off of meeting women. Now okay. Some guys get terrified by meeting women, and they need a little extra push to get out there. Mm. The Trulies. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have Trulies, if you're in this category, you don't have the Trulies, here's some exercises to help you. This is a big one for you. Use words of affirmation for you. Okay.
Okay.
So
give me some examples.
Well, I'm going to read this verbatim again. Again, this is verbatim. I'm not coming up with this. I wish I was. I wish I was that smart.
The Art of the Charm. New sponsor.
Before approaching women, remind yourself of something positive. Something like, the outcome doesn't matter. Women enjoy meeting me. Or, I'm a sexy motherfucker.
Tell myself that every morning. It's the first thing I do.
Anything that resonates with you and gets you motivated to go out there and do it.
Okay.
You know, that just... So, I think we should close the podcast with just telling everyone to tell themselves... I'm not going to tell you, but tell yourselves. You're a sexy motherfucker.
You're a sexy motherfucker. Pat, that is life-changing. I'm going to take that stuff to serious heart. So, what I've learned so far from The Art of the Charm, is that what it says?
Who cares?
That sounds like some stupid ass.
Let's just say that this is our own
TLC show. All right, whatever.
This is our own advice. We came up with it.
Okay, yeah, I like that idea a lot. So Pat's advice, our advice is
don't put my advice. Put ours. This is a teamwork.
Pat's advice is tell yourself you're a sexy motherfucker.
Bingo.
Start talk off. Yeah, talk to some dudes. Conversation. Transition to some girls. Correct. Boost your numbers up and get loose. Is that what I heard there too?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Okay. All right. So that was very helpful advice from all of us here on the Running on Empty team. I mean, that's life changing stuff. The thing about waking up and telling, hey man, you're a sexy motherfucker, that's what gets me going. That's how I like to wake up to. I tell myself that every morning.
Do you? Do you really?
No, but I'm going to start.
I mean, I think your life would for sure change, just without a doubt.
I like this a lot. Right.
Any last words?
No, that's really all I got.
See you later. This is a Pat Cam production.
Blah, bah, bah. Go Braves, baby.